I would like, before we pray, to read from Psalms 104, the first four verses. Let us please stand up for it. Psalms 104, from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts that You revealed Yourself to us in Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son. We thank You that You have become a personal God to us. You established a personal relationship to us by revealing Yourself personally in the body of flesh, in the shape of a man. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Lord, I thank You that there are people on earth to whom You revealed Yourself. People who see You in the spirit and understand You. Faithful Lord, may You take this service under the leading of Your spirit. Forgive us all our guilt, be it in words, in deeds, in thoughts. Cleanse us and sanctify us in Your presence, that You hear us and that You answer our prayers. We ask You that You save the lost, that You heal the sick, that You deliver the captives. May Your gospel be proved as the power of God on them who believe You. Dear Lord, You are risen, You are alive, You reign, and You wait until all enemies are made Your footstool. Lord, be today present. We want to hear You, we want to see You, and we want to experience You. Make us still in Your presence, so that Your word can fall on fruitful ground. Make Your ministers a flaming fire, faithful God. May also Your word come forth unto us, so that we become aware of that You speak with us, and that You reveal unto us Your plan of salvation. We place ourselves under the precious blood of the Lamb. We believe in the perfect reconciliation and forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb. Faithful Lord, You see us through the blood, and the destroyer has to bypass us. You have taken us over from death into life. Hallelujah. Praise God. The day of salvation dawned for us. The Son of Righteousness arose to us. with healing under its wings. Bless with us all who cannot be here, who are on vacation or were hindered otherwise. You know your own, O Lord. May you, as the Good Shepherd, have mercy upon all your sheep and take the lambs into your arms and carry them. Faithful Lord, once again we ask you, be thou present. May an eternal fruit come forth from this service. May also all in Switzerland, in Germany, in Austria, wherever this sermon is going to be heard, may all be blessed. To you, the Almighty God, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, I would like to read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, and then also taking other scriptures to it. I welcome all who are here today for the first time in a very special way, and I wish you and all of us God's richest blessing. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, already the last part from verse 19. It shall be a vexation only to understand the report, for the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. So far, this precious and holy word of God. Today, we would like to speak about these two terms, special days, special experiences. In the plan of salvation, we find both, special days, special experiences of divine significance, which go beyond one's personal life. Here, two scriptures are mentioned, or it's referred to two events on which we will speak now. The first that we meet here is the fact, the statement, it shall be a vexation to understand a revelation. True divine revelation will overwhelm us. It will be more than precious to us. If it is written here now, for as on the day of Perazim, the Lord shall rise up. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, not a work, not my work, not your work, his work, the started work. He will finish in majesty. Both is being said here. He will be wroth to do his work. Then it says, a strange work. What God does goes beyond all the understanding of all theologians, and of that what people can understand. Important is that we recognize from the Word which promises God has given, that it is revealed to us what He does according to His Word, and in what kind of way He continues His work until it finally will come to its completion. Both is written here. To do His work, a strange work, and bring to pass His act, His strange act. Let it be said again. What God does is extraordinary, for the human mind incomprehensible, either too high or too low. In any case, the divine is not on a human level. Man must, through the Spirit of God, be placed into the divine. He must receive divine information to know what He promised, what He intends to do, and what He brings to pass. Let us hold fast to it. The Lord shall rise up. He will rise up to then do His work and bring to pass His act. Humanly seen, we would say, does God work? Does God act? Yes, He does both. He works in His own, according to His word. He does what He promised and fulfills what He promised. Let us refer to these two events which in this connection are mentioned, with the completion of the work and with the bringing to pass of His act, which are given here in the Holy Scripture. The one is written in 2 Samuel 5. Please keep in mind that here it is about that God completes His work and brings to pass His act, and that He for it will rise up with all power and strength in majesty. God has the last word. God completes what He started. It may seem incredible. Only believe. All things are possible for God, and those who believe, they will experience it. Mentioned was the scripture from 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. Here it is written, 2 Samuel 5, from verse 17, you can all read it. I read from the second part of verse 19. The Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal Perazim. Just now, we read in the prophet Isaiah 28, as on Mount Perazim, the Lord God will rise up. Here we read, and David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me, as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Here the word breakthrough is written. As a huge water breaks through the dam and pulls everything with it, so the Lord, who was with David, broke forth upon the enemies and has given the people of God the victory. The Lord rose up to help his people. The Lord will again, at the completion of his work, rise up to give to his people the total victory of Calvary, not only to proclaim it, but to give it a breakthrough as it was never on earth. God will, that's how we read it, do a strange work, an extraordinary act he will do. This would be something that seems not to be known until now. We dare to believe that God, at the completion of his church, will do extraordinary things by his grace, giving a breakthrough. But he seeks people who turn and come to him, as David did it. He asked, Lord, shall we go? And the answer was, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David went. When did he go? When he received the answer from the mouth of the Lord. He not only did it because he thought that he must do it, he did it after he received the answer. I believe that God will give us an answer if we are ready to do his will, no matter what the cost, so that the victory of God can be manifested among the people of God. Something extraordinary, yes, something very mighty, God has done there. As waters break through a dam, so God gave his people a breakthrough, and the powers of the enemy were defeated. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, this is now not a theory that I make up here. Here, in the word of prophecy, we can all read it. Here it is written, for the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. That's how we read it. What happened then? When will he rise up like this? Here the answer is given to us. At that time, when he does his work, a strange work, at that time, when he brings to pass his act, his strange act, not sooner and not later, but at the time appointed of God. About this, I'm happy. This promise doesn't come from us. It was given to us in the Word of God by his grace. The other scripture to which the prophet Isaiah refers to is in Joshua 10. Maybe a bit more known to us. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 14, here it says, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Hallelujah. For the Lord fought for Israel. Special days, special experiences, extraordinary things God has done at certain times. We have the promise in the word of prophecy that this will repeat at that time when the Lord rises up to finish his work. At that time when he raises up to complete his work, and then on the seventh day during the millennial reign to rest. Our God is a living God. He will finish the started work with great might. What happened here in the days of Joshua? Joshua had to fight against five kings. The battle was bitter. It was about to be or not to be. And the day was coming to a close. The moon came forth already, and the victory was not here yet. Joshua needed time. He looked up and said, "Sun, stand still, and thou moon also." And it happened. I read these verses so that you know that the Lord inspired the prophet Isaiah to reveal unto him by the Spirit what will happen at the completion of the work of God on the earth once more. The time to speak out in the name of the Lord what God wants to do will come. It will be spoken out what at that time shall happen. We will just now come to it. In Joshua chapter 10, from verse 12, we read, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ayalon." Let us keep in mind here these two terms. I read again from Isaiah 28. "For the Lord shall rise up as in the valley of Gibeon." That's how we read it here in Joshua 10. My heart is touched. I am overwhelmed. One can only say, how great is the wisdom of our God. How high, how deep, how wide. Who are we people who we now in these days in the Word of God see the connections, the promises, finding them, to straighten us up at them, to anchor our faith in these promises. If we have no promise, where shall the anchor be fixed? True faith needs a promise to be firmly anchored in it. How many have read Joshua? How many have read the other scriptures up to the prophet Isaiah without finding the connections? how grateful we can be for the prophetic message, for the prophetic ministry, for the revelation of the Word and of the mysteries that were hidden in the Word. At that time, that's how we read in verse 12, Joshua prayed to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ayalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. What shall we say to it? One word, Amen. That's the only right word that fits here. And God hearkened unto the voice of a man. I don't know whether we understand when Brother Branham sometimes says in the sermons that the Joshua story is in agreement with a letter to the Ephesians. If this is said like this, then I sometimes have the impression that most of the people probably don't get the connection. You all know, if you just start with the first chapter of Ephesians, then the finished church is in view. No rebuke, but as it is written in verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Here, the church is not shown unto us with its mistakes, with its wrestlings. Here it is shown to us in its divinely placed stand. Before the foundation of the world, chosen, called out, pardoned as God's possession, having entered into the rest of God, being blessed with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. As the church is shown to us here in Ephesians, up to the ceiling with the Holy Spirit and everything what goes with it, so shall be shown to us from that what happened in the days of Joshua, that there it was no more about promises, but about their fulfillment, to get into the possession of that what God had promised. There were some stages. To Abraham the Lord said, after 400 years, I will lead your descendants out of the strange land with a strong hand. God used a Moses to do this, but then was just the leading out, not yet the leading in, not yet the possession of the promised land. But now we believe that God has led us out through the prophetic message, and He has shown us the promises, and He laid them into our soul. But we even believe more. We believe that God watches over His word to fulfill His word on them who believe it to fulfill His promises and to bring us into the full possession of that what He promised. A man of God spoke out at the time when the promised land was conquered, when the promises became reality. He said, "Sun, stand still, moon, don't move." And it happened. I read verse 14 once again. "And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man." And then comes the reason with a little sentence, "For the Lord fought for Israel." Hallelujah. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Who was this man? He had laid the word which God gave to Moses into the Ark of the Covenant. He has given the instruction to the Levites to go to the River Jordan. And it is such a parallel that we just have to see. Joshua chapter 1 verse 10. Joshua chapter 1 verse 10 and 11. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." I would like to take myself the liberty here and to speak about this little sentence, "Prepare ye victuals." The Lord be my witness. Almost the same words He spoke on the 2nd of April 1962. "Store in food." Things were mentioned in detail. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, we live in a very special time. I'm not here to create a good atmosphere. I'm here to bring us into conformity with God and His Word. Atmosphere everybody can make, no matter with what. Not an atmosphere and voices, but it must be right. And it can only be right there where it is placed divinely. And to it, we don't need our own key. We must have the key of the Word to place everything in the right connection to each other and the events that are still to come. Here it continues in Joshua chapter 7. Some other things are written. I don't know whether we can still go through all that, but there is a number of hints in the Word of God which we cannot lightly bypass. I read now from the prophet Habakkuk to show you that also this prophet, of that what should happen, he has spoken already, and he pointed to the last days. In the prophet Habakkuk, in chapter 1, here it says, in verse 5, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told to you. He will work a work in your days. I take you now to chapter 2, Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Again, we stand on revelation ground. Here it speaks of a revelation which should be written down, and if it tarries, we shall wait for it will surely come to pass. What a confidence we can have toward God and His Word. Rather, the heavens fall before His Word deceives me, as the German song goes. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains vanish, but he who believes will find out that God's Word is true forever. And our Lord says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Lord didn't say, right at the end, a great man will come on the scene. He will then finish my work and do my work. No, the Lord says, I will rise up. Hallelujah. God has sent a great man with a mighty message to awaken in us a living, rightful hope to that what will still take place. But that what still has to take place, this God did not leave to any man. That he reserved for himself. And there are people who think by themselves, sometimes also say it, and ask, Brother Frank, why don't you do something? All the others are doing something everywhere. There is movement. How long is the movement? As long as the certain man moves it. And if he doesn't move it anymore, then there is also no movement. No. What we need in these days is divine truth. And no man has the right to deceive the people of God in a pious way. The people of God has a right to be taken out of the deception. And to this God has sent the message, but not to make a new Babylon and a religious mix-up, but to lead us sober into His Word. And for this soberness, which some don't like, we are grateful to God. Does not the Holy Scripture say, be sober and vigilant and watch in prayer? Soberness and vigilance are necessary among the people of God in these days, so that the Lord can bring us totally into his dependency, so that nobody can still do something. And here I think on our beloved brother Branham, how often he referred to Jesus Christ our Lord, who at that time, as the Son of Man, had to do the prophetic ministry. And you can read it, John 5, verse 19. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, this the Son does likewise. As Son of Man, in his prophetic ministry, totally depending on God, what he was shown, this he has done. The church must, in these last days, has to be brought into this direct dependency on God, being introduced into the direct leading of the Holy Spirit, to then, by divine inspiration, receive that what shall be spoken out, so that it takes place. Rejoice today with me that the Lord has given this generous promise through the prophet Isaiah by his grace. And this for our days, for the completion, for the finishing of his work, which he started and that he will bring to pass in a glorious way. Before that, everything else applied what was written in the prophet Isaiah. And you all know, the Spirit of God, he has not forgotten anything. In chapter 28, we have a whole list of the condition which we face. In verse 8 it says, "For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean." Everyone says what he thinks he has to say. In verse 9 it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts." Yes, this also doesn't work. And what does Paul write? "To those who are of full age becometh strong food, not only milk, divine revelations of the word and of his will." So, we no longer sit at the table which is full of vomit, but at the table of the Lord that he richly prepared for us. "And we feast upon the fatness of thy house." If Brother Branham uses the saying, "We are a privileged people," then this is right. God has given us a great privilege to hear him and see him. It still continues. In verse 10 it says, "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Yes, you see what's all about? And then from this line upon line, here a little and there a little, the jump to the divine revelation, the jump to the speaking of God, from the human patchwork coming out into the perfect, into that what God revealed to us in this time. It still continues here. I also make a little jump. And it says here, from verse 16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be put to shame. It still continues. Away from the patchwork, here a little, there a little. Away from all the tables on which is vomit, away from all, toward the order of the Lord, toward the revelation of the living God. The Lord calls out His people, and afterward comes then, it shall be a vexation only to understand the revelation. And if we understand it, it will pull us away from the mouth of the people and lead us to the mouth of God, that we only hear that what the Spirit says unto the churches. Also this, we must all admit what is written here in verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. A strange condition. Here God wants to show us with a very practical example from the daily life that it is just not enough. It is not enough. Here a little, there a little. Do this and do that. It is not enough. Therefore, towards the revelation. And he who understands it, he will be grabbed like with a vexation. Because God has spoken into the midst of all the human words, to by this pull us away from the mouth of the people and from that what they are doing. God's word and God's work belong together, and God's people. First, the word goes forth. We hear it, we believe it, and we have part in that what God does. Where people have their work, there applies their word, and then they are brought into connection with that what these people are doing. And at the end, there is the great disappointment. The whole thing will turn out to be a balloon that simply bursts at the crucial moment. And one will have to say, nothing but wind. You have been fooled. Does God not speak through the prophet Ezekiel? They fooled you. They spoke without that I sent them. They didn't heal the wound of my people. Many things are written there. Thanks be to our God. A day like in the days of Joshua, that didn't exist before and was not since then. It will be there on that day which the Lord has determined to finish His work. As on Mount Perazim, as at Gibeon, so the Lord will rise up to finish His work, to bring to pass His act. You all know, and that goes 100% parallel to what God had promised for the beginning of the New Testament era. It were promises up to the prophet John as the preparer of the way of the Lord. But then, after the preparer of the way had done his ministry, not again a prophet came on the scene to again say something. Then the Lord came on the scene, as it was at the first coming of Christ, so it will be at His second coming. Not another special man after the prophetic message. When the moment is here, the Lord will rise up. Hallelujah. then he will finish his work that he started. And I tell you also why, so that no one deserves the glory. God says, I am the Lord, I will not give my glory unto another. He himself redeemed his church. He builds it. He says, I will build my church. He founded her. He built it. He will also finish it. And if we know this, then we can rest safely in the faith. Do we have to count with it that some kind of man comes on the scene? Then at first the thought would come to our mind, is he really right? And does he make the thing good? But if we know that God has shown us already the direction and we just need to follow in obedience and then wait in great expectation of the things which will still come to pass. The Lord says, as in the days, I like to read it to you again. Isaiah 28, verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Right at the end, it doesn't speak anymore of a prophet or of a special man of God. Right at the end, the Lord rises up and fights for his people to bring us into the possession of the still outstanding promises. Him we can fully trust. I say it once again, don't expect from me that I come to create a good atmosphere. Expect from me only that I bring to you the Word of God in sincerity and honesty. This is what matters now. In the beginning was the Word. At the end, the Word must be again. Jesus is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. God just uses us for the purpose to do the calling out. And then, when it is so far, then he will rise up. He will finish in majesty. The victory of Calvary will be heard and seen. The completion of the work of God will be in majesty. Once again, let it be emphasized. If we would have to wait for a man, who shall be it? No, the Lord who redeemed his church, who founded her, who called her out, who builds it, who has laid all the ministry into it, who now calls her out from everything to cleanse her and to sanctify her. The same God has laid the word of promise into us, and we believe it. Such a day as in the days of Joshua, there will be such a day. It will be that day which the Lord has made to finish his work. I'm grateful that he didn't leave the final things to any man, but he will do it himself. Then we can say already today, what he does, this is well done. And then he will be able to look at everything as at the end of the creation and say, it is very good. And God rested on the seventh day of his work after he completed all his works. The same will be on the seventh day in the seventh millennium, the Lord will, and we with him, be in peace and rest after the marriage supper of the Lamb. May God bless us together. In my heart it is singing. Thankfulness arises up to God. Who are we that God has given us the grace in this confusion where really everything goes upside down and nobody knows anymore what is still correct? God has given us the grace to feel the pull toward his word in us. Not interpretations, not explanations, not twisting to the left and breaking to the right. In great expectation are we toward that what God will still do. The meantime, we use as he commanded us to go from city to city, from country to country, to make the calling out. The completion he will then do himself. Hallelujah. And about this we rejoice and we thank our God with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, bowed and humiliated, but with gratitude, we come into your holy presence. You are my witness, O Lord. I was not looking for this word. You have given it to me. Faithful Lord, may your people find rest and peace in you. There is a rest for the people of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful God, beyond that, you made your word great and glorious, and you revealed your name. Lord, together we thank you for the prophetic message, for the teaching, for the insight into your mysteries. The longer the more, the great expectation comes up in us. Lord, rise up soon and finish your work and bring to pass your act. We thank you so deeply also for this gathering, for the connections, for the revelation of your word and of your will. We pray now for our friends. Should somebody be here who didn't experience you yet and your grace, may it happen now. You convict of sin that we did not believe through your Spirit, and you convict even more. You also reveal unto us that the prince of this world is judged. You don't let us die in our sin. You paid the price. You took the chastisement upon yourself. We may go out free. Thank you so much for everything in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.